God. Damn, the Russian water. I'd heard this phrase in times of great distress in my childhood. Always I was wondering, were the waters she wanted held back by God as high as those that brought our family to this place? Not a West Virginia flood of biblical proportions, but still bringing death. First to a mining town and eventually to its people. So, she and George and the two, soon to become half-brothers to one another, left the South and came North in 1960. I never got the chance to ask her if she meant that phrase in the spiritual vein or if she meant it in a worldly vein. To me, she was a woman in transition, somewhere between spiritually wondrous and worldly wise, equally at home with a Bible, a knife, a gun, or a Louisville Slugger, if that was at hand. I never saw her actually strike another person, but I saw her come very close. The end usually came with the other party understanding that she had no hesitation or second thoughts about following through. I haven't achieved the patience and the understanding that she did in her lifetime, but I'm learning faster and safer than circumstances afforded her the opportunity to do. She'd already lost one man to the mines, and enough time would see all of her men die, eventually, digging their graves as they dig for coal. The life and light giver for the lucky Negroes of the first half of the century, but an eventual death sentence for many. If not a cave-in like the one that took Brown, than black lung disease or emphysema. It may have been the first time she really prayed. In any case, she would fight for the lives of the two boys and the second man in her life. And the prayer was for deliverance for all three. God must have known she would give up everything for the chance. The mountains of West Virginia she had known her whole life, plus everything and everyone she knew, all for a chance for the two. A virtual miracle for a black woman in rural 1950s West Virginia. And the miracle came as a deluge in far less than 40 days and nights, filling the mine and flooding the town. Both would never recover because they were one and the same. So this was their chance. Their miracle, not for a new life like immigrants, but any life, like the grandchildren of former slaves and Blackfoot Indians. She never spoke to me of the trip. I was the third and the last. But more importantly, I was born on the other side, and the distance from here to there was far more gargantuan and daunting than going from the south to the north. It was the crucial turning point in her life. All three of us gave her hope for our future, but I think I gave her hope for herself because I didn't know what came before. She didn't see both her past and future in my eyes. She just saw what lay ahead. But getting out would take more than one miracle. Often she spoke of the mountains, barefoot and climbing higher, leaving the group behind. Eventually, they all went north except for her and her own family. We'll never know why they came north, but the 1950s in the Deep South and being black could give a clue. In any case, she was forced to go north herself, maybe leaving behind the place she loved for people and a place that surely didn't love her. The floodgates weren't just open, but overcome, and behind her lay the ruins of a past with no future. But at least it was paid for. God damn the Russian water. Somewhere between a certain but slow death past in the South and a future with no past in the North, she made a realization. Her survival and that of the two depended on her ability to stand alone in the face of odds. I believe she thought that one day she'd be able to rely on a group for support, but that day never came for her willingly. So all my life, I struggled for the desire to be a part of a group.